With reporting from around the world, it's time for Eye on Travel with America's number one frontline travel news journalist, Peter Greenberg. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome back to Eye on Travel. Peter Greenberg here with you as we continue from, Winston Churchill said it, the Pearl of Africa, Uganda. Of course, you can always reach me. You know the drill. Just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. In fact, let's go out to the phones, out to Elgin, Illinois. We got Bonnie on the phone. Hey, Bonnie.
Good morning, Peter.
How can I help
you? I'm calling to ask you about some pointers about booking point-to-point flights in Europe. I've already booked my transatlantic travel round trip, but I need to figure out how it's best to fly from Paris to Rome.
Okay. Well, first of all, you say you booked your flight already round trip. Round trip to where?
From Chicago to London via Aer Lingus. So we're flying Chicago, Dublin, Dublin, London, and then after London, we take the Aerostar to Paris. And then after Paris, we thought we would be taking a train, but it seems like the train is going to be very, very time consuming. So we thought, okay, we'd better fly. But I'm not at all familiar with the carriers that might be flying point to point within Europe.
Okay, I'm going to help you out. First of all, you're doing the right thing by taking the train to Paris because you won't get stuck with a huge tax that the United Kingdom levies on anybody flying from the UK. Flying to the UK, no problem. Flying from, you get a tax. So you save all that money, use that money to buy the Eurostar ticket. Now you're in Paris. Now you want to fly from Paris to Rome, right?
Correct.
Okay. But let me first give you a suggestion about that. First of all, you can take the night train from Paris to Rome, and it's a sleeper, and you know what? That's kind of fun, too. But if you want to fly from Paris to Rome, I'm going to give you a website that might help you out. It's a website basically specifically for European flights that they search all the websites of airlines that you may not have even heard of or airports you haven't heard of. And it's called Momondo, M-O-M-O-N-D-O. That's Momondo.com. They might be very helpful to you going from Paris to Rome, because they'll also give you flights from Orly to Rome, not necessarily just Charles de Gaulle. So you have your choice of airports right as well. Okay, so that's the other way to do it. I'm still a fan of the train. And then let me ask you this question. When you're coming home, you're flying home from Rome?
We're flying home from Naples. So after we get to Rome, we're going to take the train, the Freccia Rossa or something like that, to Naples. And then we'll spend some time in the Amalfi Coast. We'll fly home, Naples, Dublin, Dublin, O'Hare.
Okay, so I got the answer here. First of all, you've already bought your round-trip tickets, right? Correct. So
correct.
Now you can buy a Eurail pass in conjunction with those round-trip tickets. How long will you be spending between the time you get to Rome, or actually from the time you leave Paris until the time you leave Naples?
About 5 days, I would say.
Great. Possibly. Then you're going to buy a week-long Eurail pass, which gives you unlimited travel on the train system, and that's how you're going to do it. You'll take the train from Paris to Rome, you'll take the train from Rome to Naples, and then you get to fly home through Dublin. It's done.
Okay, so and we can book all of that through Eurail?
That's what they do, absolutely. Now, did you buy your ticket through a travel agent?
No, we didn't. We booked it directly.
Okay. My suggestion is to call a travel agent. They can sell you a Eurail pass. It has to be done in conjunction with the ticket you've already bought, meaning the airline ticket, and then you'll be good, okay?
Okay.
And there you go. And if you plan the trip right, you won't have to spend money at a hotel because you'll be doing the train overnight.
Yeah, that would actually help us out because I'm not at all familiar with any Naples hotels, and we're only doing the Naples hotel because we couldn't get our Airbnb for exactly the days we needed. So we thought, okay, no problem. So we'll fly to Naples and we'll go to Pompeii, and then, you know, we'll just spend one night in Naples.
All right. So now you know the answer. You bought your round trip ticket. You did the right thing by taking the train to Paris. Now continue with the Eurostar folks. with the Rail folks, the Rail pass, and get that 1 week pass. Okay, and you book second class, not first class.
Second class. Okay. You know, thank you very much. It's such excellent information. I'm traveling with my niece, who's an adult. She's 40 years old, but we're also traveling with her 8-year-old daughter. So I need to be just thinking all the time about the difficulties of traveling with a child. You know, they get tired, they get, you know.
Yes, but guess what? The train trip will be an adventure for her. You'll love it.
Okay. Thank you for that suggestion. I can't wait to tell my niece, and I'll make sure she knows to listen to your program on Saturday.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Bye-bye. All right, let's go to the emails right now. Very interesting email from Chris. He goes, I just tried to book a flight to Ireland for myself and my mother next month on Aer Lingus. My mom is 100 years old and in great shape, and Aer Lingus does not permit anyone over 100 to fly. I was flabbergasted. Is that the case with other carriers? I've never heard of such a policy. By the way, we checked, Chris, and we even checked with Aer Lingus. There is no policy. Does not exist. Your mom is good to go on Aer Lingus or any other airline. As long as she's not incapacitated to the point of being a safety issue in terms of an evacuation, you said she's in great shape. Guess what? Book the flight. And whoever told you that information is completely wrong. Right? No age limits, right? And good for her. And I hope she has a great time. But bottom line is, you know, if at first you get an opinion you don't believe, get a second opinion. And by the way, next time somebody tells you that, get their name and title. We'll have a little chat with them. All right? Here's one from Kathy who goes, my husband and I would like to travel to Italy and Ireland in one trip. Is this a good idea? Well, Kathy, you didn't tell me how long the trip was going to be. If you're going to go for 2 weeks, sure, but you get to do one city in Italy and one city in Ireland, or you'll be overdoing it, and you know that. You don't want to, you know, I mean, remember that book, If It's Tuesday, It Must Be Belgium? That's not exactly the book you want to either participate in or experience, all right? So she then says, which location is the best to fly into? Well, I can't answer that, Kathy, unless you give me some more information as to what your particular interests are, both in Italy and in Ireland. You want to do Florence, you want to do Rome, you want to do Venice. You want to go up to the Amalfi coast? I mean, you need to tell me a little more information, then I'll tell you the best way to do it. And the same thing for Ireland, right? By the way, I recommend you go to Amazon and check out our last special called Hidden Ireland. It'll give you some ideas about things that may not be in the guidebooks or brochures, but will give you a great experience once you're there. Again, if you want to do two locations on a trip, it's possible, but you have to be realistic with time of travel, right, the time it takes you to travel, and again, how much you want to do in any one trip. I have a rule. I'll only do one museum per city, otherwise my eyes glaze over. That allows me to, you know, do a deeper immersion and experience it. And the same thing applies to other attractions. It's when you go, it's how long you have to spend, and never do more than two cities in two weeks. You will not be a happy camper. I hope that helps. Hey, by the way, stick around, because when we come back, an amazing guest. And she wrote an amazing book, Walking with Gorillas. Remember, we're in Uganda. Dr. Gladys Kalema Zikusoka, an amazing African wildlife vet. Her story and her book, when we come back to Uganda, right after this.
Your flight might be late, but we're on time. Eye on Travel will be right back. Been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Eye on Travel continues. Of course, you know the drill. You can always reach me. Just email me, peter@petergreenberg.com, with your name, phone number, question, or problem. In fact, let's go right out to the phones to Wheeling, Illinois. And for those people who are not in Chicago, it's not too far from Chicago. I got Jim on the phone. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Peter. How are you today?
Great. How can I help you?
Well, Peter, we are my wife and I are planning our 50th wedding anniversary in 2 years.
So what you're telling me is you're still talking to each other?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We're still talking to each other. And we want to plan a big family event. We've got 4 children and their spouses, and then we also have 12 grandchildren. Ranging by that time, we'll have 4 teenagers and everybody else all the way from 17 to 4. And we were thinking about a cruise to Alaska. We get them on the ship. There seems to be a lot of things to do there, and then we don't have to worry about scheduling events and things like that. Everything would come with the ship. And we've heard so many things about Alaska, it being great, but not necessarily great for kids. So that's where we're at right now.
All right. So let me first of all start with, everyone must be very excited because you're paying for it, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, good. Then you can adopt me. I'll go. Okay. So here's the deal. Bottom line is, the nice thing about a cruise, if you pick the right ship, is there is something for everybody. I give you one caveat, though, because you gave me an age range of kids, right? The youngest is how old?
17. Oh, the youngest is 4.
Okay.
And the oldest is 17.
All right. So cruise ships are not known for great daycare. So if you're going to have young kids, remember, the parents can't just delegate that to somebody else. They got to watch them. For the teenagers, everybody from like 12 years old and on up, they'll be taken care of because there's so many things for them to do. But just keep in mind, when they're that young, you know, they're not that many babysitting services on board. However, what you can do, depending on the cruise line, is there will be people on the cruise ship occasionally, you have to put this in advance, who will provide babysitting services for you if the parents want to go to dinner and have a nice, you know, dinner for two and not have to have a screaming menagerie, if you know what I mean. That's number one. Number two is, when are you going to go? You said this summer, but when?
Probably July of 2026.
Oh, we got time. Tons of time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, I thought it was this summer. Okay, we can do some serious research on this. The bottom line is, every cruise line that I know has an Alaskan itinerary up the Inside Passage. The one thing that you want to do to protect yourself, and it's a little too early to find it out now because itineraries change, but I want you to keep this in mind, is when you decide on a particular ship or a particular cruise line that you want, make sure you ask them, on this 7-day itinerary, and we're going into Juneau, and we're going into Seward, and a few other locations, can you tell me how many ships of other cruise lines are going to be in the port on the same day that we are? That will determine whether you want to take that cruise, because there are so many cruise ships that are doing that itinerary that it basically really taxes the infrastructure of those towns. You know, people can't even find bathrooms sometimes. And you want to have an enjoyable trip. You also want to be able to book in advance a lot of the shore excursions because they get booked up quickly. Now, again, you're going 4 years from now. So, excuse me, 2 years from now. So we have some time here. But you want to be able to make sure that you do that, especially if you want to go up to the Mendenhall Glacier, do some helicopter trips up there, or if you want to go salmon fishing when the ship's in Juneau. Lots of things you can do and lots of things for the kids to do. So both onshore and on the ship. That's not a problem. The problem is which ship and which line, and then, of course, as I just said, which itinerary. So what I would do is I'll give you 4 or 5 ideas. I want you to do your own research on this, and then give me a call back, and then we can start to fine-tune it, okay?
Right.
The 4 or 5 ships that I like, Disney's got one, no doubt about it. And you know what? The food on Disney ships has improved 150%. You'll enjoy that. Of course, Holland America tends to be a little bit older group. So does Princess. But if you take a look at Royal Caribbean and Celebrity, you might find some interesting itineraries that will appeal to everybody. So take a look at those 4 lines, Disney, Celebrity, some of the smaller Royal Caribbean ships, and I think you'll be in good shape. In the meantime, and Princess, of course, they're almost the pioneers of the Alaska cruise. So you might want to check them out as well because of the shore excursions. They really have that one pretty well manned. So do that homework there, Jim, and then you get back to me, and we'll try to figure out what's the best one for you, okay? The good news is we have the benefit of time.
And that's why we wanted to start early.
And you have.
That's
just early enough to adopt me so I can go with you, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Peter.
You got it, Jim. Thanks for the call. You know, what Jim was talking about, it's great to plan in advance, but I can't emphasize enough, you have to fine-tune the itinerary, not for what the ship is going to do that you're on, but what the other ships might be doing at the same port at the same time. Because if you don't do that, you're going to find yourself in a long line trying to get a Diet Coke and overpaying for it. That's the one issue that we have with over-tourism. Obviously, Alaska is seasonal. He said July. I would have been happier if he said late June or early September. But that's when the kids are out of school. That's when you got to do it. Again, the key here is how busy the port is when you're getting there, and that's information you should get. That music means you're out of time for this hour. In fact, out of time for the entire show. So we'll see you next time, everybody, from another distant remote location other than Uganda, which was an amazing location. And we'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.